This is episode 212, recorded June 23rd, 2014.
Okay, so who have we got this week?
We have a few people. We have Kinsey in Sandy, Utah, Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, and Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
So, should we start with Kinsey?
Sure. She had a problem with ick.
She did. She called. Mm-hmm. We don't have it as a message, but she called.
And have, had a problem with ick, and ick was, she said her rainbow shark had it, and I asked about the other fish in the tank and tried to get an idea of what was going on, what temperature they had the tank at and everything.
And she'd already turned it up, right?
Yeah, had turned it up to 85 degrees, which, it's a pretty good way to treat ick is to turn it up, and that's the treatment I typically use. You can use the over-the-counter ones, and I said, you can use the over-the-counter
ick. Because she didn't have anything sensitive to that in the tank, right? She didn't have any shrimp or
live plants, whatever, that can be really sensitive to that. And I said, you can go that route. Some fish, you want to use at half strength, depending on what you've got. But
so you said she had
a rainbow shark, and she had some other things. Like, sometimes you can use salt, and that can help too, but she had corys.
Corys don't like the salt.
They don't really like salt, so.
But all her fish were okay with turning the temperature up a little bit more.
Yeah, and so I said, when I treat it, I typically will turn it up. You don't want to do it all at once, but she had turned it from, she normally kept it around 82, so turning it up to 85 is not that big of a deal for them. And then I said, you could wait a day or two and then turn it up to 88, or over the next couple of days, turn it up to 88.
Like a degree at a time?
Yeah, and leave it there for a while, and ick really has a hard time reproducing at that temperature, so you probably, if you left it there for 10 days, that's what I do. I mean, it sounds a little radical, and with certain fish, you can't do it.
But her fish were okay with it.
But, yeah, and I haven't lost any fish from doing that, and so I said, if you turn it up to 88, as long as you have good aeration and, good water quality, it should be okay. If, because it does lower the oxygen levels significantly.
Because it's warmer.
Yeah, dissolved oxygen levels in warmer water, they decrease. And especially if you get past about 86, it really takes a dive. But as long as, the tank's not overcrowded and the water quality is good and there's aeration, should be okay for about 10 days. And I mean, that's what I do, and it always works when I do it. I don't lose fish, but I lose ick,
which is the whole point. What we want.
So hopefully it works out.
Yep. Okay, Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, he just sent us a little note, and he says, I just found a quarter-inch long cory in my aquarium. How it survived with all those snails and guppies, I'll never know.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Tenacious little things.
What do they say in Jurassic Park? Life will find a way.
And it did then. Yeah, it's funny how you'll get things like that. Someone else sent us a picture. They had like a 55-gallon tank with big old angelfish in there and everything, and they were finding little peppered corys in it.
Wow.
And they sent us pictures
of them. They must have had some really good hiding spots, I guess.
Yeah, and it was a densely planted tank, and that does help, but one point that Robert makes, I mean, snails are voracious eaters of fish eggs. And while cory eggs are pretty tough, I don't think they could withstand a direct onslaught from, a hungry
bunch of
snail.
Snails. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. It must have just been in a secluded spot, something like that, and avoided any sort of predation. That's pretty amazing. And hopefully it continues to do well. It's fun to hear that kind of thing. Like that time that I found the zebra danios in that tank. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that they had spawned and had taken the adults out, and a couple days later passed by and there's a little cloud of babies in there.
Where'd you come from?
It's just funny to get surprises like that. Mm-hmm. So
it's part of the fun.
And that's how I first spawned rainbow fish too.
On accident?
Looking in a 55-gallon tank with three adult rainbow fish and snails and all kinds of things going on. And I saw two or three little fry swimming around. And then on the spawning mop was covered with eggs, so I just took the fry out and the spawning mop and hatched a bunch of rainbow fish. So it happens. It's kind of fun.
Okay. So, Jeremiah in Michigan, he says, First, I just want to say that one of my favorite things about the show is the banter and the fact that the show is very happy and cheerful. The two of you can really light up my day. That's lovely.
Thank you. See, I always tell you you're an extremely important part of the show, because without you, there wouldn't be any banter.
Well, you could try to banter with yourself, but
it wouldn't
work
very well.
Nearly as effective.
You're a lot more fun to banter with. So that's just one of the ways you contribute to the show, among many.
Well, I'm glad that we perk up your day, Jeremiah. That's good. He says, I wanted to say thanks for the ideas on the lava rock. It also occurred to me I could likely borrow a chisel from my dad. Thankfully, I didn't hit my hand with the hammer. I just found that the hammering made the rock vibrate to the point it made my hand hurt. Ouchies.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you didn't hit your hand.
Me too.
Says, I have some questions, as usual, and some suggestions. And then he puts in parentheses, for once. This might be pretty lengthy. You've been warned. Those were his words, not mine still. Okay. He says, I have a few suggestions for Wendell regarding the display tank sump freshwater refugium. Specifically, a great YouTube channel for him to watch that addresses many topics, including do-it-yourself sumps and filters, primarily for freshwater, is Wara Joey.
Waru.
Waru?
Yeah, it's okay. A kind of fish.
Okay. U-A-R-U-J-O-E-Y. Mm-hmm. A.K.A. the king of do-it-yourself. He also sells a do-it-yourself e-book on aquarium maintenance, which is worth a read. Mm. Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Joey prefers using a fluidized bed with a floating ceramic media called, what does that say? K1?
Like
K-L? K1 Caldness?
Caldness? Mm,
okay. K-A-L-D-N-E-S. He also started a message board called DIY Fish Keepers that has a lot of helpful people on it. I actually used Joey's sponge filter design for my 2.5 shrimp tank.
Cool.
He goes on to say, Joey also has a video on an algae scrubber, which I think would work out fantastically in a sump with lights running up opposite your display tanks, assuming you're looking at a planted tank. This would also work out great if you keep shrimp or algae-eating fish, because you could grow your own food for them without making your display tank so messy.
Cool.
That's a nice idea. I also read the Diana Wallstad book recently, and I have a 20-gallon high dirted tank, which has proven to be a lot of fun. I also recommend the Dustin's Dirted Tank Guide. Dustin also has a YouTube channel called Dustin's Fish Tanks. Though fair warning, Dustin has a tendency to use swear words from time to time, which doesn't bother me any since I have a fairly blue vocabulary myself, but I know some people have children or don't care to hear such words. Thank you for the warning. The guide doesn't have that issue, as I recall. Anyway, both the Dirted Tank Guide and the Wallstad book advise using a deeper soil-based substrate with a cap, though they use different approaches and are both worth reading. Diana's method is more low-tech, and Dustin seems to be more mid to high-tech. I'm implementing aspects of both for a balanced approach in my dirted tank.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I've often wondered, because I've looked into Dustin's fish tanks a bit, and he has some cool stuff, and I was kind of wondering how his approach differed from Diana's. So
now we know.
Good to know.
And then for his questions, he sent us a video of his 20-gallon high dirted tank that he was just talking about,
which we will post. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but we will.
And he says, as you can see from the video, I'm running a sponge filter on the tank. The tank currently has a T8 for the light. I'm considering replacing the light with a T5 or possibly 2, but I'm wondering if switching my form of filtration to a hang-on-the-back or canister to naturally increase the dissolved CO2 in the water might be a better idea, or perhaps if I should do both and in which order. I'd prefer to avoid injected CO2 or even liquid because I don't want a setup that relies on CO2 being continually added. I'm more wondering if a filter system which removes less CO2 might be a better idea, or perhaps only running my existing filter at night and letting the plants handle the nitrates during the day. Or would that cause a pH swing during the night-day cycle, or would it basically even out, as during the day the plants would use the CO2 and during the night the CO2 would be pushed out by the sponge filter? That's all I have for questions, and I hope Wendell finds my suggestions helpful.
Jeremiah, thank you for the suggestions. First of all, for Wendell, I think those will be very helpful things for Wendell to check out. So we'll put the link to information to the channels that you mentioned, Uwaru Joey and Dustin's Fish Tanks and so on. We'll also put a link to your video. We watched your video. We took a little break. We needed to stop and do some other things. And before we resumed recording, we took a look at your video. We really liked the way the hardscape was set up.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was like the first thing Kelly mentioned when she saw it. It really does look nice. And we also, I love the way you, at the end of the video, the latter part of the video anyway, you mentioned, here are some things that I would do differently. And we'll put a link to the video so everybody can watch it. But one thing that he did, he had a really nice arrangement of cork bark
that he had silicone to glass, and then he had set that piece of glass into the bottom of his tank and silicone that there. And he said in the future he wouldn't do that because now it's impossible to move. And so
no redecorating.
Placement of filtration, placement of heating, and yeah, just moving it around for aesthetic sake, whatever, it can't be moved. Even though it does look nice, now it it doesn't give him any choices. So was a cool setup, though. I like the way it looked. And I never would have thought of a gray background, but it's true. It looks nice in there. It looks good with the neons, as he mentioned.
They look good.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us. So let's talk about your questions now. Now, in that tank, you're running a sponge filter. You have a T8 light. And you're thinking of replacing them with a T5 or possibly 2. And maybe switching filtration to hang on the back or canister to increase the dissolved CO2 in the water. Or if you should do both, and if so, in which order?
Can I ask a dumb question?
Okay.
Why do we want to decrease the CO2 in the water?
Oh, increase.
Oh, okay.
Did I say decrease?
You did.
I meant increase. Sorry.
Okay. Never mind, it wasn't a dumb question, it was just a typographical error.
Okay. Well, it was my mouth's error. If I said decrease, then I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, so a couple of things. He said he wants to avoid injected CO2 or any kind of liquid. He doesn't want to rely on anything that
he has wants CO2. To keep it low maintenance, right. I think, basically.
That where you have to keep on adding CO2.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is my take on it. One, if you're going to increase the light, which you could do, you are going to increase the need for CO2. And then, therefore, you might be opening the way to algae if you don't increase CO2.
Algae is not something we want to encourage.
Yeah, and I don't know if I said that very clearly, but what I mean is...
I don't think it made sense.
That if... Well, okay. You think...
But you can say it again anyways.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to clarify, because if you increase the light, then it won't be as limiting a factor, and so then plants will be trying to use more CO2, of course. And if there isn't more, that could be an issue for the plants. But also, algae could find a way in.
Just because
there's more light that, and the plants aren't, if the plants aren't making use of all the nutrients because of their different set of limiting factors.
They don't have enough CO2 to.
Or there aren't enough plants to pull all the nutrients from the water column. Then the algae could jump in without additional CO2. And I'm just saying this from my experience with higher tech tanks, when you have, you know, a fair amount of light and not CO2, that can happen. Not that it always does, but it can. And you may not be benefiting a whole lot from that extra light if you don't add the CO2, you know what I'm saying? There may not be much of a reason to add more light if you're not also adding CO2, because you may not be able to get the full benefit of that light.
Okay. Right?
And you may just be asking for algae, possibly. It does depend on the type of plants you're growing and so on. And if you could put a whole lot of stem plants in there that don't really need injected CO2. You could put some surface growing plants in there that will help. They can draw CO2 directly from the atmosphere. You know, there are some things you can do to think about, but it is an issue that you might want to think about. I don't think personally that using a hang on the back filter or a canister filter to increase the dissolved CO2 is going to make a huge difference. It might make one. But I don't think it's going to be a very big difference. You will probably increase it slightly, but I don't think it's going to be enough that you're going to see
it. But it's going to make a difference.
Big difference. I also think that your siesta period will probably help. The one you're running already.
It's 5:45, I think it was.
Yes, yes. That will.
Which I don't think he mentioned in the email, but he did in the video. So he's got the lights on for 5 hours, and then off for four, and then on for five.
Right. And essentially what that's going to accomplish is allow CO2 to build up during that darker period.
Because the plants aren't, like, active using it?
Plants are going to be producing it, and other factors in the tank are going to be producing it during that time. And then when the lights come back on, they can start using it again.
Okay.
So I think that will help some with that. That's something that, you know, when we interviewed Diana Wallstadt, she mentioned that she uses the siesta period partly for that reason, to increase the availability of CO2 after that resting period.
Okay.
So they get a time in the morning when they've had CO2
they
building
get
up at
breakfast
night.
And dinner.
In a way, yeah. If you run the existing filter at night and let the plants handle the nitrates during the day, now, here's the thing with that. If you do that, let's see. It's possible to do that, but that only if you're really counting on the plants to do most of the processing of ammonia and nitrates. If there's a significant amount of bacteria that are actually doing the job, then I wouldn't recommend doing that, because you're going to be limiting those bacteria severely. In other words, say you said you had in your video that filter was seeded. So let's assume, for the sake of the argument, that there are a lot of happy bacteria doing their job on that filter right now. If you start turning off that filter during the day, they're going to start dying off.
And then you won't have them there to do the job.
Right. Now, if, on the other hand, let's assume something else has happened, a different scenario, that even though that filter was seeded at the beginning, let's say over time, most of the processing of ammonia and nitrites have gone to the plants that are growing in the tank, and the bacterial colonies have been slowly petering out over time because they're really not getting a whole lot of nutrients because the plants are doing the job, then you could turn your filter off at night.
And it wouldn't make any difference.
It would be okay.
Why was it that he wanted to turn the filter off at night?
Because it would allow the CO2 to build up.
Instead of making the water more bubbly and it
The filter during the day. Sorry, I said the wrong thing. He's running the filter. He would be running the filter during the day, or during the night.
And not in the day.
To let the plants take in...
So the plants take in the CO2. Wouldn't that make it so they don't have as much in the morning when the lights come on because the filters made it kind of dissipate through the night?
To some degree, yeah.
But not too much, not a lot.
It would be during the day when they are going to be processing CO2, they'll have the light to be able to process it.
Okay.
And at night, they will be excreting it and some of it will be bubbling off due to the filter. But at least the plants won't be, sucking it up when it's not there.
Okay.
Or, I don't know if that made any sense what I was trying to say, but...
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think maybe, sort of,
okay.
A little bit.
I would say... one thing he mentioned, would that cause a pH swing during the day or night cycle? It might. I mean, to have the filter running at night, it would be gassing off the CO2 and reducing the CO2 in the water if the filter's running at night.
Okay.
And then during the day, if the filter's off... and the plants are using up CO2, the pH swing wouldn't be as pronounced. It still might be a change, but it wouldn't be as pronounced as if, say, you have only plants during the day, and light and no filter, and then no filter at night, and they're releasing a lot of CO2, the pH swing would be bigger. You know, some people with do-it-yourself CO2 will, or injected CO2, will turn their CO2 generator off.
At night.
Because the plants are going to be releasing. And the plants are not going to be using...
The plants are releasing...
CO2. And not using it at night.
That plant's really... Okay. This is going to be my ignorance showing moment. Okay. So you guys can be patient with me. Because maybe there's somebody out there who's just like me and doesn't get it. That plant's released oxygen. That's why we like them.
Okay. They do. But they also use oxygen. And basically... This is an oversimplification, but basically how it works is that in the dark, and like I said, this is an oversimplification, but in the dark, plants use oxygen much like we do and release CO2 much like we do. In the light, they sort of do the opposite.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever knew that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's essentially how it works, and there are exceptions. There are different types of photosynthesis. So it is an oversimplification, but that's the general way it works.
Interesting.
That's what we're talking about here. And, I'm just thinking that if I were in your place, I might just say it's kind of working right now. The plants seem happy. The fish seem happy. The light is enough for the plants. I'd say if you're not going to boost CO2, keep the light you've got. And the filtration you got. Everything seems to be working. To a certain degree, when you have a filter running in a tank... Because you're getting the water, it's moving, it's circulating, you're increasing the effective surface area in the tank just by having water movement, you're always going to get a little bit of CO2 that's coming in through the atmosphere, diffusing into the water.
Okay.
At a much lower rate than you would be if you're injecting it, but you're still getting it to come in. So plants can still use that, and that's what they're using right now. And also, a lot of the dirted substrates will be adding carbon to the water.
They get it that way, too.
Yeah, especially during the early stages of the process. They'll be adding carbon dioxide and perhaps other forms of carbon to the water as they decompose. Bacterial action in the soil under there is contributing to the system a lot of CO2.
Interesting.
So you're benefiting from that already. So I hope that makes sense. I felt like I kind of rambled through that a little bit. But yeah, that's just to recap. I think without adding CO2, you might be jeopardizing the system if you add more light. But just letting it go the way it is probably what I would do.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. If you wanted to add CO2, I would say increase the light, do it yourself CO2, or add something like Flourish Excel. But you have mentioned you don't want to do that. So just say, well, go with what you got. Keep it fairly low tech. And yeah, and you're good to go.
Okay.
And hopefully that helps.
Is that everybody?
I think that's everybody for this week. So thank you for joining us, Aquariumaxers. Thank you to all for your suggestions, ideas, comments, and so on. And we will see you next time.
May the fish
be with you.